NPR News in Washington. I'm paid in wages and benefits. I'm broke. Coretta Scott King shot and killed 6 civilian workers at a mall in California today.
How many must die?
King founded the Center for Nonviolent Social Change. On Wall Street, 410-85-8259. This is PR News.
PR News.
PR News.
The new PR compensation index rose 3.1% last year. That year saw a gain of 3.7 PR News.
Welcome to the joy-free realm of Quadrant 9. Please line up and do as you're told for the next 90 years. We do ask that you try to die before you're 100 years old so as not to inconvenience the new members. Please stare into this painted window until dead. I mean, until you're happy, which in this case will probably be the same time. Thank you for coming to Quadrant 9. Sorry, what was it you said?
Prepare to activate.
Don't touch it! It's the history eraser button, you fool!
Do you suppose there is such a place, Toto, where there isn't any trouble? There must be. Not a place you can get to by a boat or a train, but it's far, far away. Behind the moon, beyond the rain, somewhere over the
genius hour of
I guess it doesn't really matter.
Talk, 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 talk.
Doctors. Bob, 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 Bob. All in the name of increasing
talk.
Join Bob.
My name is Bob.
That's right.
Anyway, trying to get somebody excited, basically.
I wrote an article on my butt.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, yeah.
Basically, they give these gobbledygook. Yeah, and then somebody could figure out how to put a fart on a screen. Psychogenic consumerism, doublespeak.
Yeah, basically, bop, 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 bop. You turned over your janitorial duties?
Yes, yes, to your wife, actually. Ooh. 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 No, no. I'm just, yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. And they're on the other side of the planet, so, you know, they have to have chat. So, you know, they have to have chat.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
For 2 weeks.
Exactly.
For 2 weeks.
Exactly.
There's an issue with 911.
Yeah, yeah.
Bloated hermaphroforms dance like candies through the planted fields. Erstwhile and youngborn, the Canterburys float like treelets in the night. Piss-born and shovel-bound, the angry tenants of yesteryear clamor for remorse. Through the starlit nether regions, the gropers shall delight. Tantalizing but unrelenting, the government cheesesteaks dance like mussel berries in the cantilevered wind. Born to shake a monkey butt through the quivering lobes of love. Taste the paste at the back of your mind.
What are you going to call it?
Yeah. I think I'll call it Bob.
Bob.
Bob?
You don't like Bob?
You can't call a planet Bob.
Oh, so now you're the boss. You're the king of Bob.
Well, no. But...
What?
Can't you just call it Earth?
Well, no one said you had to. Live on Bob.
Yeah, but they said I had to live on Bob. I have to live
me
off.
Too.
Yeah, and Princess, we have to live on Bob. on Planet Bob. Hello, and welcome, dear friends, to Hour of Slack number 1038. Can you believe it? And,
1038?
Yeah, and we're live tonight, this 1038th show, so that means Dr. Sinister doesn't have to hurry towards the station so fast. We're hoping that Lonesome Cowboy Dave, that ignorant cowboy, will call in. And in the meantime, I should mention that this show tonight, we're presenting a new talent that we've gotten turned on to. He's our new short-duration personal savior to replace Bob temporarily. You know, I mean, that's the nice thing about this religion. You get tired of Bob every now and then. You can just throw him off your back, throw the old monkey off your back, and worship Johnny Future, for instance, who was the person just the redneck talking about the bloated her Mafra forums a second ago, and also helped bring the show in along with all the lemur and Norel Pref clips and cut-ups. Yeah, Johnny Future. We're going to be playing more songs by Johnny Future. Some of them are kind of raw and rude, so you may hear some of the cuff cutting and tish cutting that we have to do. He's from Arkansas, and he seems to be like a singing, another Janer Hypercleats or a Lonesome Cowboy Dave, only he's probably not as mean as Janer nor as nice as Dave. We'll be playing more of that and the usual. Actually, if Dave doesn't show up, I'll read to you from my new favorite books by Terry Pratchett. There's this British writer. Some of you may be really old news to some people, but there's this fantasy series of satirical books, actually. They're not so much fantasy as satire using a fantasy world that's great, called The Discworld. And these books by Terry Pratchett, there's like 35 or more of them out now. Princess Wee and I are both hooked on them. And you'll see why if I get around to reading any of this stuff from that. This music in the background, which is sort of insane and possibly annoying, I don't know, is by Just John, Reverend Just John, a subgenius who makes his own, rolls his own CDs and sends them in. You can do that too. With no guarantee that we'll play him. Anyway, friends, Dave may be calling any second now. So while we still can make a little bit of no sense, let's do it.
We're alive! Alive, I tell you, alive! Back off, man!
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Oh, Toyota 4Runner. I had about 100,000 miles on it. No.
Yeah, they feel their own bodies.
Their bodies.
It's hopeless.
Looking for ways to microwave some grandkids on a rainy Saturday afternoon? This rainy day or any day entertainment fun is available by microwaving your grandchildren.
Join me in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You're just tense. You need the kind of relaxation only the bedroom of next Tuesday can provide.
Satan is hung, the biggest major weapon. Swallow, swallow, mighty big, big gun. Swallow, inch by inch, communist corn.
The war against your penis was fought on the planet Zorbi 100 years ago in the dark. The only war that was ever fought in the whole dark. The whole war was fought in the dark. Nobody could see a damn thing. Nobody knew what they were doing. They were making battle plans in the dark. They didn't know who the hell they were half the time. Nobody knew. No one cared eventually. It didn't matter. I can't see a goddamn thing. I'm going to tell you what.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, one thing is, you know, people say the Holocaust was never happened. You know what never happened, really? The Civil War never happened. It's all made up. It's made up by Mark Twain. And it's actually the whole. It's actually a chapter in Huckleberry Finn. Civil War. Yep. That's where it happened. And then people heard about it, and they thought, you know, well, Huckleberry Finn's real. The Civil War must be real, too. And that's how that happened. There never was a North or a South. It was all made up. Made up as lies. It was a propaganda started by the Indians. And the Indians wanted the white man to fight each other because they wouldn't be fighting them as much as what they bought. Hey, Big Chief, look here what I'm thinking about doing. Just watch out. Well, look here. When we get them Northerners fighting the Southerners, each Westerners and Easterners fighting each other, well, nobody wouldn't be killing Indians all day long. Well, that's a pretty damn good idea. Well, how are we going to do it? Well, why don't we just lie about it? Well, all right, that sounds good. I mean, and I love to lie. Because Indians, you know, they love to lie. There's never been an Indian that told the truth. Never was. Never was. Never. All Indians do are make these broad generalizations. That's all they can do. They did that. And he was, well, let's look at the one. Well, call up Mark Twain on the phone. I held that. Mark Twain, that was one they do. Would you lie about the Civil War making people think it's happening? You know, sure, I will. I'll put it in my next book called Huckleberry Finn. All right, now. That's how that happened. I studied history. I know. Next.
Friends, that was Johnny Future. I told you I was going to be playing some Johnny Future. It's really weird. St. Byron Warner sent me that, and I don't think it's on any real record company. In fact, I think it's some friend of Byron put that thing together using this Johnny Future guy. Very, very,
very
strange. Well, we'll... I am going to go ahead and read a little bit of out of this, one of my favorite Terry Pratchett novels. I prefer to think of them as nonfiction. This is from one of my favorites called Small Gods. It's about a god who has, he had this huge religion on Discworld, but... it turns out that all the believers were kind of believing in the everything but the god itself, and the god has turned back into he's just a turtle now. He only has one believer left. That believer is an idiot, a subgenius. But as it says here, where do gods come from? Where do they go? Some attempt to answer this was made by the religious philosopher Kumi of Smale in his book Ego Video Liber Deorum, which translates into the vernacular roughly as Gods, a Spotter's Guide. People said there had to be a supreme being, because otherwise how could the universe exist, eh? And of course there clearly had to be, said Kumi, a supreme being, but since the universe was a bit of a mess, it was obvious that the supreme being hadn't in fact made it. If he had made it, he would, being supreme, have made a much better job of it, with far better thought given, taking an example at random, to things like the design of the common nostril. Or to put it another way, the existence of a badly put together watch proved the existence of a blind watchmaker. You only had to look around to see that there was room for improvement practically everywhere. This suggested that the universe had probably been put together in a bit of a rush by an underling while the Supreme Being wasn't looking, in the same way that Boy Scouts Association minutes are done on office photocopiers all over the country. So, reasoned Kumi, it was not a good idea to address any prayers to a supreme being. It would only attract his attention and might cause trouble. You can see how the subgenius might enjoy this Terry Pratchett philosophy. And yet there seemed to be a lot of lesser gods around the place. Kumi's theory was that the gods came into being and grow and flourish because they are believed in. Belief itself is the food of the gods. Initially, when mankind lived in small primitive tribes, there were probably millions of gods. Now there tended to be only a very few very important ones. Local gods of thunder and love, for example, tended to run together like pools of mercury as the small primitive tribes joined up and became huge, powerful primitive tribes with more sophisticated weapons. But any god could join. Any god could start small. Any god could grow in stature as its believers increased, and dwindle as they decreased. It was like a great big game of ladders and snakes. Gods liked games,
provided they were winning. Kumi's theory was based largely on the good old Gnostic heresy, which tends to turn up all over the multiverse whenever people get up off their knees and start thinking for 2 minutes together, although the shock of the sudden altitude tends to mean the thinking is a little whacked. But it upsets priests who tend to vent their displeasure in traditional ways. When the Omnian Church found out about Kumi, they displayed him in every town within the church's empire to demonstrate the essential flaws in his argument. There were a lot of towns, so they had to cut him up quite small.
On my meds again. I really need to get on my meds again. My manic spells are losing me all of my friends. And I can't wait to get on my meds again. On my meds again. I've been places that I've never been. Gotta take my Zyprex and my Klonopin. I can't wait to get on my meds again. On my meds again. Cause when I go off them, I go down the highway. I'm at odds and ends with strangers I think should be going my way. And they all say, on your meds again. You really need to get on your meds again. Maybe when you do we can make some amends. Get on your meds again. My meds again, cause when I go off them I go down the highway. I'm at odds and ends with strangers I think should be going my way. And they all say, on your meds again. Gotta stop smoking that brown Mexican. Maybe when you do we can just start again. Before I now get on your meds again.
Yes, dear friends, that was Reverend Phineas Narco, our good friend Phineas Narco with National Cynical Radio, which you also hear around these parts late at night. You can hear it anytime you want by checking Phineas's website at nationalcynical.com. And we are still awaiting the call of the cowboy. I even have some cowboy songs to play. In fact, coming up, Ed Fred's Subgenius Midnight Cowboy. But I found another nice little section about belief and so forth here in this Terry Pratchett book, Small Gods, about this God who he used to be really big, but he's small now, and he's trying to get his powers back. And his one believer, the subgenius, who's a halfwit, an idiot savant, is praying again. The name of the believer is Brother, and the name of the god is Om, the great god Om. Om listened curiously. He could remember prayers. There'd been a lot of them once. So many that he couldn't make out an individual prayer, even if he had felt inclined to, but that didn't matter, because what mattered was the huge cosmic susurration of thousands of praying, believing minds. The words weren't worth listening to anyway. Humans, they lived in a world where the grass continued to be green and the sun rose every day and flowers regularly turned into fruit. And what impressed them? Weeping statues and wine made out of water. A mere quantum mechanistic tunnel effect that had happened anyway if you were prepared to wait zillions of years. As if the turning of sunlight into wine by means of vines and grapes and thyme and enzymes wasn't 1,000 times more impressive and happened all the time. Well, he couldn't even do the most basic of God tricks now. Thunderbolts with about the same effect as the sparks off a cat's fur, and you could hardly smite anybody with one of those. He had smitten good and hard in his time, and now he could just about walk through water and feed the one. And friends, now I think I hear...
It is the Dave!
I hear, in fact, it
might be the Dave!
Do I hear a Dave?
Mock Turtle to Command Headquarters.
It is Mock. He's traveling along at Mock Turtle speed.
Oh, man.
And just about 3 centimeters above the ground, and at this altitude, I can see quite clearly. You have no idea of what you're talking about.
Oh, how could you figure that out from there, Dave? You can't hear the show, can you, from where you are?
I was intuiting that you were talking about the mutations tonight among the, bless their hearts, the genius Bobby, so to speak. You used to call them back before you had your thoracic implant.
No, we still call them that.
But I hear some of them are growing new appendages. And, you know, I know it's an old subject, but some of the subject material itself is quite new.
Well, you know, if the more you give Bob, the more will miraculously come to you, such as the new things will grow on your body. Tumors, warts, boils, gifts from Bob.
But therein lies the slack. Those tumors, warts, and boils may provide you with a lot of extra and a lot. You know, I noticed something in the back of my...
I quit doing those.
Luck.
Some people still smoke those tumors and things. I quit doing that.
But
for
boy,
health reasons.
Why would you quit? I mean,
health reasons.
You know?
Yeah, it was blissful until you came down. It's not like frop, which you don't come down from.
You parachute lightly into a field of clover, and then assassins jump out and begin flailing you with weird guilt trips and stuff.
Well, that's only in the first part. That's when you're coming on. That's the initial rush.
Before the actual little mini explosions in the DA where they lay the larvae, you know, right in the cell wall or something like that.
Well, as I understand it, the herb, Habafrop zipulops, if you smoke it or drink it or whatnot, actually just strips the sheath off of your ganglia, your nerve cells. You know, they have a kind of a tough sheath on them. Well, that sheath is stripped away by the frop. It doesn't really accelerate your thinking. It just removes any hindrances, such as common sense or...
Jimi hindrances.
Yeah, man.
I saw him when I was 15 years old.
I saw one of them concerts.
A Jimi Hendrix?
It was terrible. Yeah. It was awful.
I bet you were packing with about 20 pairs of socks to make yourself look, you know... and cumbersome to all the young ladies.
I was only 15. I was wearing a suit and tie because I thought that's what you wore to a concert. And it was my first concert. Not being funny either. I wish that I could.
Wow, man.
After all these years, you still are, you know, for Bob. You're wearing a suit and tie, going to various doors that have nothing to do with any, you know, like doors of perception maybe or something.
I don't know. A Jehovah's One Witness. Jehovah One's witness, I mean.
And that, what a sorry witness that you're threatened many times as a Jehovah's One witness.
Well, we're better off than the Jehovah Two's witnesses. And
yeah,
so
they
forth.
Don't even come around and threaten them. They just, you know, don't make the trial.
Well, yeah, it's rough running a huge world religion with when you have no help. That's the kind of religion it is.
Well, you've got
half-assed believers.
You have enough slobber.
Half-acid believers, I should say.
But don't you have enough slobberers coming out of the depths of Dobbstown? Don't you have enough pickerel to amass a mighty fishy fortune from her? What the hell?
That's about what it would be. It would be a big mess that smelled like fish and was whining and wanting more Bob. And, you know, that's great. But that's between them and Bob.
But they can still diddle around the furniture, you know, and polish things up, you know, like
no,
put
they
the neckties in order.
That would be nice if they could. But remember, this isn't the Scientology Church or the Catholic Church. This is the sub-genius church. So, first off, you know it's not geniuses. They're not even allowed. Don't even qualify.
Right. Cut-off line is right there at sub.
As Bob pointed out 1,000,000,000 times a second, think how dumb the average person is. Well, by definition, half of them are dumber than that. And that's where we come in, Dave. And sweep up. We're like the little dwarves at the circus that run along behind the elephants with our brooms and little carts.
Yep. I had a vision of those
guys tonight. Did you?
Yeah, I did. I was thinking of little dwarves with brooms. I couldn't imagine the elephants derriere, you know, quite yet, but I knew what they were doing, kind of. And isn't that weird?
There's been a lot of coincidence and synchronicity in the air lately. There was a full moon earlier this week is the reason for it, and your lunacy causes you to notice all those so-called synchronicities. Actually, Bob causes these simple coincidences to happen so that your human brain will misinterpret them as being meaningful. It's the same difference, though. If you think it's meaningful, then it is.
But how and why does he do this to me, it, and everyone?
So that you won't feel like your $30 was wasted when you joined his cult. Well, it makes you feel like the magic is going on, and it is. The magic of your mind interpreting such simple things as magic. That was what we were just talking about, but you couldn't hear because you were praying too hard, weren't you?
Of course I was.
You could have been listening to the Lord, but you was talking to him.
Like he
didn't know. You had to explain to him what was on your mind.
I was focused on the pale heart of Somnaga and all the other alien religions that we're going to be forced to bow down and lick dirty boot to with on. And
right. At least Bob gives you a certain amount of slack as mind control authoritarian figures go, relative to the other ones.
A non-existent trial period, too, of which many people, if they care to, you know, if they choose to use it or may not, except it's another example of free will at its worst, because Bob is controlling, I still don't know how, is controlling everything behind and in front and right next to the scenes.
Well, you know, Dave, the great thing about Bob is he's not really controlling it. He's not. He doesn't even know what he wants, but he always wants something. And whatever he wants, because he's Bob, fulcrum of the universal luck plane, whatever's going to happen happens to be what he happened to want to happen. So Bob's prayers always come true at your expense.
Yeah.
And mine.
That's so cool the way that happens.
It is. It's cool. At least somebody gets perfect luck and slackdomness at all times.
But while the others berserk off into angles that don't fit their nature.
Well, you can get, you know, well, it's like homeopathy. I was reading an article about homeopathy earlier today, and it said that homeopathy worked because of the energies. Of course, it didn't mention what energies they... You aren't supposed to ask that if you're being healed by faith.
Yeah, you don't say what energy is healing me, you just hope it works.
But they had a good point. It won't hurt you. Your homeopathic medicine won't hurt you. It won't do a damn thing, one way or the other.
What about the steroids?
No, but you could say that about a placebo, and yet a placebo, J.R. Bob Dobbs, can yet have profound brain-damaging, crippling effects on a person. Just belief. That's all it takes. Belief is the medicine, and it is the disease. It's the gangrenous leg that has to be sawed off, and it's the saw, and it's the strap of leather you bite while they're sawing, and it's the slug of whiskey they give you as they start cutting away that bad thought.
Thank God for
called
meat.
Your leg.
Yep. Thank God for meat tenderizer and heroin, you know, or else we'd all surely, you know, disappear into that vapid duct mark out of here.
And we will eventually. We'll all have to walk that desert.
But still, why?
With that skeleton man.
If Bob was just an immaculated schmo like the rest of us schmoes, how come his schmohood has grown?
Well, he wasn't. He never was normal. Or rather, let us say he's so utterly, he's the one true normal. He's so normal, so perfectly the epitome of the average that it's weird. It's real weird, man.
So then he's been picked as some sort of classical icon that exemplifies weirdness?
It wasn't that he was picked. It was that he was there and we simply managed to finally notice. See, once again, it's not Bob, it's the belief in Bob that does all the work. You Bob doesn't have to do anything.
That's why I think my faith is so spotty.
Well,
you know, it's like a charcoal thing. You know, it just flakes all over the place. It has no internal substance. It has no drive socket. I can't. It's
Let me ask you something.
Why?
When was the last time you tithed financially to Bob?
I don't mean
the gas you spend driving to the station when your car works. I mean, how much money did you give to J.R. Bob Dobbs?
Well, I think
last year, for instance,
during the great blow dry drills off Gitmo Bay there, I think on Wednesday.
And how much exactly did you give him?
I thought it was another 30 smackaroos, but it could have been, just a pittance. Because
yeah.
I didn't know what, you know, I was hanging out and it was fun. And I may have put more in there.
I can see you people from up here. I know what you're putting in that collection plate. I can see. Do you think I'm blind? You think I don't know what you people are doing out there? I seen you stepping out with old Witter Jones. I know what you're up to. I know all you listeners out there. I saw what you put in that pledge drive. I know how much you love Bob. You love Bob as much as Bob loves you, don't you?
For one who can see into the hearts and minds of not only the radio listeners, but those who have either tithed or failed to tithe to Bob, I forgot what I was talking about.
Me too.
Me yeah. three.
Did you have the Weltbekamp to the Vigeidsverschlappen or whatever, the world weariness, the Weltbekamp, the Weltbekamp, or what are these to call it in the old German...
The Dachsnefuschne Miners?
Yeah, in the, you know, in the...
The Bafnefendepandada?
In the what you call it theater, you know, before fascism took over the Europes. What was it? Not Rococo Abundo. Oh, what's the name of it? Not Art Deco. Not Bauhaus. It was the, Cabaret.
Doghouse.
Cabaret, Cabaret.
I don't know, man.
Cabaret.
You know, when they were all making fun of Hitler's schlong size and, you know, Goebbels' pooper tube and things.
Is that sort of like when we make fun of our leaders here in our country?
Well, it could be, except we have to remember they all died. All of those cabaret guys who were great satirists and not just burlesques were liquidated, much like maple syrup.
Oh, well, but that was in Nazi Germany. Thank goodness we don't have to worry about anything like that happening here in the United States. Certainly we don't see any parallels to early... Fourth Reich or Third Reich. What Reich was that?
I think we're on number six now, really. But if
what was that cover article of the scene we were just looking at, dear?
I'm glad I'm not that guy. I've been made fun of slightly in the scene, and I'd really hate to have them rip me a new mouth like they did that guy. Anyway, friends. Those of you who can't read our minds and don't know to which we refer, just take my word for it. It's really important and it's too late. You missed out.
The easy way out. The fat man's barbecue. The insipid way of sipping. Never mind.
Our previous show host, Charleston, says that he thinks that Cheney wanted to kill that guy that he shot. And I was pointing out that any idiot can accidentally shoot another idiot in the face. We've all done that. I mean, haven't you shot somebody in the face accidentally once or twice?
Everybody within calling range right now, anybody within earshot of this transmission, if you've ever shot anybody in the face and not reported it to the police for either 14 hours or perhaps the rest of your life, would like to tell us about it or anybody else, don't do it.
Yeah, don't tell us. We don't. We were trying to keep, what do they call it, plausible deniability or deniable plausibility.
Well, when birdshot is in the face, you call it a low profile.
It's a joke.
Unfortunately. I think it was all a ploy, like one of those like leather nun masks, you know, like when you think it's Sister Mary, and all of a sudden she pulls off, and there's like Erectus Nichols.
Like Myrna Ploy?
Yeah, and what do they call those titty things that, the ones that bark, that make noise, the breasts that make noises, they squeak and squawk.
The breasts that make noises?
Yeah, like, you know, she
like
comes
a whoopee breast.
She's dressed like a nun, you know, she's like sister, and all of a sudden she's like, you know, wearing these weird, like, armaments and stuff like that.
Huh.
A lot of it's spent plutonium stuff. They're turning into craft industries to try and revive the Northeast. Have you been to any of those places yet?
I've seen the glow from a distance.
A lot of good porn stuff made from spent plutonium.
Porn stuff, did you say?
Well, yeah, you know,
I was starting to get bored until you said that.
Well, evacuator tubes, pluggies, snipper snappers, I guess they're calling them now. All those little devices that are fun for, I don't know, some form of mammals use them, but...
Well, Dave, you live near a power plant, nuclear power plant in Ashtabula, right?
It's actually closer to Cleveland, but I guess the wind, they expect the wind to always go one way.
Yeah, my family in Texas lives within in the shadow of a gigantic nuclear power plant, and I used to ask my mom, don't you worry about, you know, China syndrome or something? And she said, protesters came out here from Dallas, and they sent up a bunch of balloons to show which way the wind would blow all the radiation, and it all went towards Dallas and away from us. So screw them.
Well, that's a genuine thing your mom said.
That was
said.
My mom.
And many others
Mammy.
Have said that. I mean,
bless her heart.
That's, you
yeah,
know,
it's going to blow the poison the other way. I don't care.
That's what I've heard many people say in this area, though. Which is why they worry about this and not the stuff the other way.
Well, you know, it's the just human nature. If it's going to happen to the next guy, then you want to make sure everybody knows how bad you feel about that. If it happens to you, well, nobody's going to really be hearing from you unless you're that lucky person that gets interviewed on television. The only real person in any disaster is the one who makes it on TV. Going, it was the most horrible thing in the world, and nothing could be worth it except this chance to be on your show.
And you have to
Geraldo.
Geraldo has to look real sheepish. Like,
yeah,
he actually
like,
has to be wearing like sheep clothing, you know, and go, right. Yeah.
We hate to make
horrible.
Money off of tragedy and horror, but you know, isn't that what most religions do? I mean, we're here to make money off of people's. Frailties, foibles, foolishness, mumbling.
Me fucking clutch and they pull
him dry. Hey, get this, Dave. Somebody else is trying to call in. I actually know how to push the buttons and work this, and I could. But you know what I'm afraid of is that we'll just get the. Hey, did you guys hear why Cheney really shot that guy?
Well, you're not certain that could.
No, I don't know. It could be a tax collector. It could be the.
It could be one of the. Yeah.
It could be George Bush.
I so many occupations.
No.
I think it could be. Maybe we should find out.
You ignorant cowboy. You ignorant cowboy. I really want to play that.
He's dying to play that. It's just burning a hole in his consciousness.
I think The Streets of Laredo was the first anti-gonorrhea syphilis song shortly after the Civil War when that cattle tune bombed, and they were full of prostitutes.
You were telling me earlier you thought that classic song, The Streets of Laredo, was about the cowboy dying from syphilis from hanging around with all the prostitutes?
This is one of the undercover, underbelly, so-called sodomizing werewolf theories that are circulating.
But
right
wouldn't
now.
They just say it in the song, and then it died of the clap?
Then his
it
wiener,
felt just like crap.
What would they call a person's rod of presumptuousness in back in the days of? You know, I'm not
his
familiar
Dave.
With that literature.
He's Dave. The Knave's Dave.
The Knave's
Dave? His
it?
Dave was sticking proudly from his suit of armor.
The Knave.
Yeah.
Now, what was the woman's blossom referred to in the days of the glorious South and the thrifty North and all that crap.
The plum.
The plum.
Right.
The plum. Fruits and card houses.
Yeah, or the crab apple. That was another name for the...
For elderly women's vaginas, right?
Dave, we're trying not to spell these scientific terms out. It's better if you use gutter talk so that the, you know, kids don't understand. Old-timey gutter talk.
I thought you know, that was one of them.
What a plum. What a plum job that was. What a fine... well...
So we see tomato emerging much later, perhaps even in the 1920s or 30s in the jazz area.
Wow, what a tomato. What a pippin. These are sexist terms, though.
What a dish.
What a melon. What a pair of melons.
Yeah, boy, he had a big dish on him, didn't he? I remember they used to say that.
You're talking about the people who wear satellite hats.
Yeah, they talked so funny back in the olden days, not like now. The way people talk now, you know, that saying things like, you know, that's going to last forever. People will always talk that this way, and it will never sound funny to say things like, been there, done that. That'll never sound like a stupid 1990s or 2000s cliche.
Yeah, you can't use this euphemistic early 21st century language when you time travel. If you were like to go back into old Shiloh, be amid the, you know, the gunfire and the rancorous ointments and the, you know, whatever they were doing there, I think. Or perhaps you went back to medieval times, you know, and they speak English here, you know. It would sound like Beowulf or one of those guys, I think. You know, and you'd...
Well, by the same token, if you were to go forward into the future, the first few words out of your mouth would have people rolling on the floor. They'd be going, God, I can't believe it. He said, dude. Everybody says man now.
They would think you're from one of the, like, sticks, from the communities that had, you know, like, sticks in them and stuff like that. And then maybe you were like pigs and things.
Yeah, twig people.
Yeah.
The sticky people. The sticks twiggy, from the hicks. Out in the hicks.
Yeah, that run generators with pig parts.
Well, Dave, I actually want to quit talking and just play some recordings because we do have this. It is a radio show.
Oh, so I suppose you're calling it a radio show now.
Yeah, and well, it's a religious radio show, and although we're the most entrancing conversationalists in the whole world,
sometimes.
No, all the time. It's just that you can't hear just human voices all the time. It makes my teeth hurt to hear your voice for more than 15 minutes at a time. Now, we're hearing my voice for a long, long time. It kind of turns me on sexually. I get excited. I come home from these shows and listen to my own voice and sort of, you know, do whatever I want to with it. You know what I mean?
I have the adverse effect. And, you know, when I listen to myself for a protracted period of times, I go into orgiastic, you know, things there. I've passed out before.
Be out of shame?
No, I you know, I think it was pure because
oh, pride. Oh, because the yeah, the blood pleasure. All went to your pride.
The blood went to my pride?
Yeah, and you lost your head. That was the way that's what I thought always happened every single show.
Well, that's how Melville would describe an erection.
Oh, now listen to this, Dave. Okay, I'm going to read to you this little bit about speaking of erections. There's this country called Ephebia where they have erections. The Ephebians believed that every man should have the vote, it says. Every 5 years, someone was elected to be tyrant, provided he could prove he was honest, intelligent, sensible, and trustworthy. Immediately after he was elected, of course, it was obvious to everyone that he was a criminal madman and totally out of touch with the view of the ordinary philosopher in the street looking for a towel. And then, 5 years later, they elected another one just like him. And really, it was amazing how intelligent people kept making the same mistakes. Candidates for the tyrantship were elected by the placing of black or white balls in various urns, thus giving rise to a well-known comment about politics. And black balls, I guess. I don't know.
Well, right. You've been blackballed, meaning you've been omitted from the ballot and having your parts stricken.
And that reading was from my favorite book of the hour, Small Gods by Terry Pratchett, not to be confused with What's that book by Dave DeLuca that's going to be coming out someday when that agent finally sells it to somebody?
It's about
Info Zone or Infomercial or something like
that. Something like that. It's about Upton Sinclair's plan to take over the world.
Yeah.
And luckily, Sean Hammerdy, whatever his name was, discovered the plot. So I don't know. Maybe things won't work out, but maybe they will. So I'm still got my eyes crossed and just praying for the sun to shine.
Dave and I both have our eyes crossed because we both got a literary agent.
And he's a happy kind of fellow.
That's a nice. He's a good subgenius. When he was a young fellow, he played in a subgenius band in Houston.
We don't know if he's slain. We don't think he's slain any Malaysian children.
Right, so he's shopping Dave's Bible around, and of course they're going to reprint Revelation X, and I'm supposed to whip out another Bob memoir or collection of Bob's memoirs.
Well, it'll be the first thing you've whipped out in a while, Johnny.
Sorry.
So the TB from the Civil War commercial.
So we've had the first subgenius testament and the second subgenius testament have been published or in bookstores and so forth. Well, one of them's not, but it will be again. And now there will be a third, the third testicle, you might say.
If you've got to have
not
a
to be confused
nose,
with
so
the
why?
Fifth elephant.
It's good to have an additional one. Third nostril, a third testicle, stang. What
a third
beautiful,
stang.
Brilliant vision of what man or woman should be.
Yep.
Carrying an extra. I mean, why didn't the
If women had a third testicle, they wouldn't need men around.
I don't understand that one.
Well, Dave, really, we should get off the talking like I promised a little while ago.
I just want a third arm.
Let's see. Now, I have two cowboy songs, though. The Subgenius Midnight Cowboy and that Ignorant Cowboy. Those would be on... Well, we'll see. Dave, I'm going to bid you farewell.
And I bid you one also. And to all ignorant cowboys out there, keep yourself well sheathed. And remember that it's not the Lord who protects, it's Bob who controls. So, you know.
Braise Pob.
Yes.
Braise Pob.
Braise Pob.
And Braise Dave's.
And
Naves.
Raise the wrong groove from the wrong track.
Bless your little nads, Dave.
Bless
your tiny little naves. I've thought about them.
You've thought about my naves?
Yeah, but not very. They're not in. It's not an appetizing way or anything like that.
Dave, keep those naves warm now.
Which side of the solar wind you're drifting on, pal? You know, I mean, some beings out there find three extra naves pretty titillating. You know?
Yeah. Okay, man. Bye.
Okay, man. Bye.
Okay, man. Bye.
Don't make me angry, man. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
I'll just lie back and think pleasant thoughts. Chicken pot pie. Chocolate-covered raisins. It glazed ham.
Let's commence preparations for rumbling!
Welcome to the world of tomorrow!
Why do you always have to say it that way?
Cool, just like in Star Trek.
Oh!
Welcome to the...
Shut up, Terry. Let's take the rest of the morning off and take Fry to do everything he ever wanted to do.
Everything?
Except that.
Oh, a lesson in not changing history from Mr. I'm My Own Grandpa. Screw history!
Commencing excavation of the subject's chest cavity.
And in this corner, Zoidberg! Come on, lighten up. What is this, a funeral?
Aw, you know what always cheers me up? Laughing at other people's misfortunes.
Oh, well.
Well, it so happens I'm in the mood to make a deal with you.
Forget it. You can't tempt me.
Thank you and good night.
Good news, everyone.
Uh-oh. I don't like the sound of that.
I can't make this week's loan payment. Look into your hard drive and open your mercy file.
File not found. Let that be a warning to you.
I'm a cyclops. I'm a spaceship captain. I'm the only one of my species, and I'm interested in meeting a man.
A woman? I'm scared.
Professor, are we even allowed in the Forbidden Zone?
Why, of course. It's just a name, like the Death Zone or the Zone of No Return. All the zones have names like that in the Galaxy of Terror. Good news, everyone.
Uh-oh, I don't like the sound of that.
But there's probably some cool forbidden stuff you can steal.
I don't know, Fry. For the first time in my life, I feel like I've stolen enough.
Finger, snap out of it.
Sorry, I don't know what came over me. Let's go.
And why does our space pilot have only one eye? There's someone I'd like you to meet. His name is Depth Perception.
Why, you little...
Wow, that hurt. The air.
Sir, put down the lamp.
Okay, I'm cooperating.
That's it. Now put up your hands.
Nice and slow. Oh, yeah.
It was, porno. Yeah, that's...
Searching.
Fry, why are you looking for Flexo in my underpants drawer?
I didn't find him here 10 minutes ago, so I thought it was time to check again. Ow!
Smells nice, too.
Better than me?
Oh, yeah.
Don't be so hard on yourself, Fry. You lost the woman of your dreams, but you still have Zoidberg. You all still have Zoidberg. Money doesn't make good people, no siree.
Okay.
Out on the trail, got a squid in my pail, a belly full of slack, and the wind in my back. Gonna ride through the night. Stars is my light, moving forward and wide, shitty life from behind. Been working for pinks, I ain't the plot boy, I'm an agent for Bob, and a midnight cowboy. Trouble can be found. Kiss the ladies, fight the fellas. This a genius, ain't ya? My daddy was a Yeti. My mama was Seti. On the day I was born, I was ruptured and torn. Raised as a mutant, a subgenius student, and a midnight cowboy.
Oh, that's Reverend Ed Fred did that song, Midnight Cowboy. Now some Lemur. And then Johnny... No, then Tom Gleiser with the Ignorant Cowboy.
Lonesworth followed a 14-year-old boy. There was a strange, unexplainable interest in the boy. Lonesworth himself seemed to be so like the Lonesworth that Tonto was amazed.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Let's go to the house. Here we are. Let's go in.
Come on.
Of course.
Yes.
These are mine. I've never showed them to anyone before. See?
I see. Did you send for a doctor?
Well...
Tell us about it.
An ignorant...
ignorant cowboy went out on a spree. And oh, what an ignorant cowhand was he. He had a few drinks and his head was a whirl, and he ended up in the arms of a girl called Katie.
That ignorant cowboy, that ignorant, ignorant cowboy.
Now that cowboy was awfully handsome, they say, as I'm sure he could tell from his mirror each day. But many weeks later, one morning he saw a rash on his face, and he cried with a roar, "What is it?"
That ignorant cowboy, that ignorant, ignorant cowboy.
That cowboy was worried and fretted and frowned, and he went to his medicine chest and he found some wonderful tonic that must have been hot, supposed to be good for whatever you got, and he took it.
That ignorant cowboy, that ignorant, ignorant cowboy.
Now that cowboy each morning he washed at the sink, and then came one morning when, what do you think? The spots on his face, they had all gone away. He looked and he shouted, "Ti-yippee, ti-yay, I'm cured."
That ignorant cowboy, that ignorant, ignorant cowboy.
That handsome young cowboy was happy once more, 'cause nobody ever had told him the score. But the germ that had got him was still there inside, 'cause this is a treacherous germ that will hide inside.
An ignorant cowboy, an ignorant, ignorant cowboy.
Now, partners, it surely is sorrowful strange to think of that cowboy a-riding the range, not knowing someday he'll be surely struck down by the germ that he caught when he went up to town on a spree.
That ignorant cowboy, that ignorant, ignorant cowboy.
Now a ranch on the range isn't likely to find much use for a cowboy who's dead, lame, or blind. So if you've known Katie, please listen to this. Only a doctor can cure syphilis. Don't be
an ignorant cowboy, an ignorant, ignorant cowboy. An ignorant cowboy, an ignorant, ignorant cowboy.
Like Dave, that was Tom Glaser.
I'm sorry, honey, but I don't love you no more. Honey, I'm sorry, but remember that time you went to help those children in the burning house, and the fire burned your skin and caused that scarring on your face? That's why I don't love you anymore. I don't love you anymore because your face has been disfigured while you're helping save those children, and I just can't love you anymore. Come back when you're younger. Come back when you're not so old. Have I told you how old my grandmother is? Well, she's desperately old. She's terribly, terribly old. She's about to cross into the future.
And that was Johnny Future.
Cigarette, cigar, cigarette.
I'm sorry, sir.
What?
Yes.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Listen, sister.
Oh, well, I do.
To have served in this office is to have felt a very personal sense of...
Well... White House with an ordinary mundane chore. History was being made in our ordinary and mundane car, likely to see again in our lives. A president had resigned his office. Tomorrow, and the world goes on. There.
Jail to the chief, jail to the chief.
Happy, happy, happy.
I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do,
I don't know what to do. 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 I don't know what to do.
Yes, dear friends, little Theodore does not know what to do, but I know what we must do, and that is leave. You are listening to the Subgenius Radio Ministry Hour of Slack. And you can get more information about the Church of the Subgenius, if you want, from the website subgenius.com. I know what you should do, and that is check it out. Little Theodore, by the same token, is available at littletheodore.com. And Theodore is spelled F-Y-O-D-O-R. We heard some cut-ups by Norrell Preff. I wish I could tell you how to get hold of Johnny Future. The Ignorant, Ignorant Cowboy was by Tom Glazer of the olden days. And I think that pretty much covers all the credits and so forth, friends. Stay tuned for... wisdom coming up next. And praise Bob.
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know.